The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Cap and J-Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on at 9 o'clock in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio. Again, we would love to meet you tomorrow. If you're going to Bears camp and you have to park in a certain area and then there's a shuttle that brings you over, we will be broadcasting right there at the awesome Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills, 7 to 10. Carmen Yurk are there, I believe, on Friday. And we will be doing a number of broadcasts between our show and their show. Practice is at 8:10. We'll be there early prepping. We'll be there early eating breakfast. So we would love to meet you at the Buttermilk Cafe tomorrow morning. And then have fans check in with us on what's going on at practice, since we will not be there.
We're about 12 minutes away now from giving away a pair of tickets for Monday Night Raw as it comes to Chicagoland. It's the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. They'll be here Monday, August 2nd. Chicago's home for sports has tickets all week. You can win your way in to see your favorite Raw superstars live. You can also buy tickets for as low as $20 at Ticketmaster.com. The WWE is starting to make tours again. They were just in Texas. And so here they come to Chicago. It's going to be a crazy crowd at the Rosemont. Be part of it. Win tickets in about 12 minutes.
So we had a You Make the Call we discussed right before the break.
You Make the Call.
Harry.
Veteran newsman Dan Zetterman is the head coach of the 8U team in Glenview that's playing its house league, correct, Danny?
Yeah, it's just house summer league.
House summer league. Danny has a kid who pitches on the team. He's 8 years old. It's not like a Danny Almonte thing. He's like 31, right?
No, he's legit the age that he should be.
Would you just move on with the story, for God's sake?
He's 8 years old. And he's so good that no one in the league can touch the kid. Like, Jed Hoyer should be out there looking at him already. So Danny pitched him in the first inning. His team's winning 2-0. It's not like it's 22-0. It's 2-0.
Yeah.
They don't touch him in the first inning. Danny's team doesn't score. Kid goes back out to pitch his allowed 2 innings. The coach of the other team will call him James.
Because that's his name.
Yes.
His names need to be named today.
James. Uh-oh. In the Glenview Little League. James comes out to the field and says, yeah, if you're going to pitch that kid for another inning, we're going to pull our team off the field. One of the most weak-minded moves I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. Again, it's 2-0 in the game.
We heard it's unsportsmanlike numerous times, and this is just summer league. This is just summer league.
It's unsportsmanlike that this kid's too good. Our kids can't hit him. Really? That's what we've gotten to.
I think Danny, that coach is wrong, yeah.
Danny said to, what's your assistant?
We're co-coaches, Tony and I. Tony. Me, Tony, John Basser, co-coaches. John wasn't there. It was me and Tony. Tony wanted to leave him in. He felt like we should follow the rules. It states 2 innings. Why should we give in to this coach who's being a jag? And I just felt like, dude, the parents got the kids dressed. They got them to the park. The boys want to play baseball. Let's just play baseball.
They have a college of coaches there.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Like the Cubs did in the 60s.
Yeah.
So Danny ended up pulling the kid. The kid's just about in tears. What did I do wrong? Nothing. You're just too good. And so Danny acquiesced to this weak-minded guy named James and pulled the kid. And then the end of the game happens. What happened, Danny?
Okay, so we're up 3-0. It is the bottom of the fifth. They are the home team. They are batting. And they have bases loaded, guys.
Yeah.
So it's a 3-0 game. They've got bases loaded. I, as a coach, am getting nervous. Like, we're going to blow this game, right? It's one out.
One out.
They've okay. got one out. They've got a kid at the plate. Our pitcher strikes that kid out. So now there's two out. Mm-hmm. The coach, we'll call him James because that's his name, motions to me and Tony the sign of cut it off, like making the cut sign at the neck.
Like we're done.
And I go, no, coach, there's only two outs. There's two outs. Telling him I'm trying to help his team. Coach, there's only two outs. There's only two outs. He goes, nope, let's get it over with. That's it. That's it. and he calls his team off the field. Bases loaded, two outs. They're down three runs. They have a chance to score and tie the game. He pulls his team off. Now, he doesn't give us a reason except for let's just get it over with. And at this point, now my boys are standing on the field like, coach, there's only two outs. What's going on here? What's going on? I'm like, boys, we won. Me and Tony are trying to, like, just make them feel good about the game when the whole situation from start to finish was confusing for them.
Okay, this coach should not be coaching kids.
He had a dinner date, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's still wrong. And once again, there's that coach putting his beak into it instead of allowing the kids to be able to just learn.
My favorite word.
Well,
I love that word.
Well, it's just true, though, right? In this scenario, like, there, and this is when you get, it's one thing to have helicopter parents. That's also bad for some of these youth sports. But when you have a coach that's over-coaching, overreaching, not allowing for the kids to have their own experience cap, see what they can do against the kid. It only makes them better.
Exactly. And if you strike out against him, you go, you know what? I went up against the best, and he was better than me today. And you learn from that, not shirking from the opportunity. And it's not the kid that shirked. It's the coach. So did Danny make the right call pulling his ace pitcher after just one inning because the other coach said, no, it's bad sportsmanship if you let him pitch. I'm not going to let my team face him again.
Yeah. You make the call.
Let's go to Harry.
Pauly downtown. Hey, Pauly.
Hey, thanks for putting me on. This is a great discussion. My family's been in Glenview since 68. I've got nieces and nephews from 16 to 40. We've all gone through the Glenview system. They all still live out there. Danny, I respect you the heck out of you, but you made the wrong decision, and I'm sure you felt the peer pressure. Glenview's a big lefty city. This was a teaching moment for teaching kids how to deal with adversity and losing. This poor kid that Danny had to pull, God knows what has been done to his psyche now is he's a little kid. Is it wrong to be accomplished? That's what he's thinking when he goes home. That coach, whoever he is, should be banned from the league.
James.
I don't know what his issue is. You guys are all right on everything you're saying. I'm only echoing. That's why we got female soccer teams losing in first games. That's why we got Simone Biles or whatever pulling out of the Olympics. Somehow failure has been made hip. I don't understand it, but failure has been made hip.
All right, let's address it. We appreciate
Pauly, thanks,
it.
Man. Have a good day. Appreciate you listening.
You too.
Did Pauly say there's a lot of lefties out there?
He did. That's where the Sox can find a lefty reliever in Glenview.
Is that what he's saying? Is like a bunch of Jamie Moyers out there in Glenview? Is that what he's
raising
saying?
Raising a lot of Garrett Crochets out there in Glenview.
Yeah, I missed that. I thought he was talking.
My son is a lefty, and the stud pitcher he made us pull actually is a lefty.
That's funny.
Thank you, Rush, for calling us from downtown.
John in Lindenhurst. Hey, John. What's up, Sparkles?
Hey, Cookie. Hey, listen, it's John Homie the Clown calling, and I just want to echo that last guy. You know, for sure, man, the woke society, that's wrong. They should not have pulled that pitcher. Danny, you did the right thing for the kids. Good move on your part. That's what I'll say to that.
Why was it good to pull the kid?
You know, because there's a one-paragraph article written in Vineline about this kid that you don't know about, and you should read it. You know, Jed Hoyer, he's on this kid already. And you pull the kid because you let the other kids play and you talk to the kid like Zennerman did. That's why. He told the kid the right thing.
No, he did not. You do not pull the kid. You play by the rules. That kid's allowed to pitch two innings. Oh, he's too good. Let's take him out. That's awful take.
These kids are 7 and 8 years old, man. You got to listen. You got to look at their age. And you got to talk to them. Think about how all those other kids on James' team. Think about how they felt. Bases loaded, two outs, but they got to come off the field. Don't you think they know the rules? You think they're happy about that?
Let me ask you,
are going to be screwed up, man. Danny
John,
talked to his pitcher.
John,
he did
let
the
me
right
ask you
thing.
A question. Let me ask you a question, John. What is so woke about that? How do you define woke?
Oh, I'm just piggybacking off the last caller.
He didn't mention woke.
No, he didn't, but he was alluding to it, and he didn't say it. And you know what? The fact of the matter is that today in society, we're teaching these kids, oh, just participate and it's okay. You know what? It's good to win. It's good to lose. There's teaching in both moments, and the coaches need to do the teaching. And this coach, like the other guy said, needs to be canned.
All right, we appreciate the telephone call.
Thanks, Jeff. He was all over the board.
I don't know where racial prejudice and discrimination comes in with this story. Can I tell you something? For those that want to be able to kind of sneak in political, you know, terms and phrases, stick it up your ass, because that's not what we're talking about.
Correct.
Here.
This has nothing to do with politics.
I don't understand. If you're saying that everyone should get a participation trophy, that is a sports topic. It has nothing to do with politics. You want to seep that in there? There's stations for you to go to. That won't happen here, or you're going to get called out.
Yeah, we don't talk politics here. Chris on the south side. Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, as a high school baseball coach myself, my blood is boiling listening to this story, man. I'm disgusted with this guy, James. Cap, like you said, the game is 2-0. There's no reason why he should be out there, you know, making a scene about his kids not being able to hit this guy. You know, talk to your kids, boost them up, you know, encourage them, but don't come out there and act like the game is 33-0 and, you know, you're just out there pitching your guy trying to make a mockery of it. You know, Danny absolutely should have sent that kid back out there for that second inning. And if I was coaching with Danny, we probably would have had an argument in a dugout about him trying to pull it. So, like I said, 2-0 game. Hey, get that kid back out there. Let him do his thing. There's no reason to put him through that and have him crying on the field feeling like he did something wrong.
So
absolutely not.
So, Chris, I said to Hoodie, to Danny, Jeff, and JR, that if it had been me, I would always have the cell phone number of the league president in my phone. I would have said, no, he's pitching. And if that guy pulled his team off the field, bam. Hello, league president. Just letting you know what's going on here. Our guy's pitching his second inning. The other coach says he's too good and they can't beat him, so he's not going to play. You need to know what's going on the field. And that guy, James in Glenview, should not be coaching kids. I wouldn't want him coaching my son.
Like you said, the kid makes it seem like the kid, you make him feel bad for excellence.
Thanks, Chris.
Right?
No problem.
That's the whole thing. Like, you make the kid feel bad. Like, what am I doing wrong? I'm just competing, right?
Well said.
So now the kid feels bad.
Harris in Park Ridge. Hey, Harris.
Hey, guys. How's it going? So I've got like a 4-year-old that's going to start Little League right now. And when I was in high school, we sucked in Lane Tech our first couple of games. And, you know, James would have probably just quit the season. And we went on in one city because we never gave up. And if my kid is playing against a stud pitcher, I want him to feel that power. I want him to see how where he is on the scale compared to a kid at an elite level. I mean, I just think it's terrible for the kids. I don't know what this last guy said about 7-8-year-olds. Who cares? They're 7-8-year-olds. Let them learn. They got to have adversity. They're not going to learn by being protected constantly. They're going to grow up into a lefty wimps like that last guy said.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. You hear that? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. WWE Monday Night Raw comes to Chicago. Monday, August 2nd at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. Chicago's Home for Sports has tickets all this week. So caller 20, regular line 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. When you hear John Cena's theme right there, that means it's time for you to call. We're going to get you hooked up with a pair of tickets. Of course, you could also buy tickets for WWE Monday Night Raw for as low as $20 at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 20, regular line for a pair of tickets for Monday Night Raw, 312-332-ESPN.
All right, phone lines are also hopping on this topic. I mean, you make the call. Sean and Jose and Andy and all the rest of you, hang in there. We're coming right to you. You make the call. Should Danny have left the kid in to pitch? Next.
You make the call.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
It's 9:19 with J-Hood. I'm Cap. We are having a very interesting discussion, and every line is lit. Danny is the coach of the 8U Little League team. He co-coaches with two other men. One of them was not there last night, but Danny and the other coach are called on the field after the first inning. It's 2-0. And the other coach says, that kid you're pitching, we can't hit him. If you bring him out for his second inning and you're allowed to pitch two innings at that level,
yes,
we're quitting. We're done.
That's just ridiculous, man.
And so Danny pulled the kid. I excoriated Danny in the I-dot bullpen and said, you're better than that. That guy doesn't make the rules. The rules are put in by the league. You follow the rules. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't like it, too freaking bad. And then, with two outs in the last inning and the bases loaded in a 3-0 game, and he has a kid coming up who Danny said probably wasn't going to get a hit, he cancels the rest of the game. We're done. That's it. What do you mean? There's only two outs. We're done. This guy should not be coaching children.
Should not be his call.
Correct. Right?
Yes, you're supposed to protect the kids, but not because your baseball sensibilities are threatened.
You make the call.
Harry.
Back to the phones, and let's go to Andy. Andy's on the tri-state. He's next. Hey, Andy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, boys? Listen, Cap, you can relate to this. I used to coach the young kids in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
So, initially, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever. I had Danny, this is a little tip. I had my team one time, our kids got their head beaten in. Long story short, to avoid that situation, because the guy coach is totally wrong, your stud pitcher, you always pitch him the last two innings. That way, you avoid that situation. The guy was totally wrong, but then the kid doesn't feel bad that he got taken out for being too good. You put him in at the end, and there's end of story. That ends the conflict. And then if the guy makes his team quit, he should be out of the league, like Cap says.
100%. Well said. Appreciate you, man. Have a good day. Let's go to Sean. He's in Bolingbrook. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Cap? Good morning, Cap J-Hood.
What's up, brother?
I just feel like, I kind of agree with the last guy said, but I wouldn't start him last. Start your starters. I mean, that's your ace. You want to pitch him? It's not your fault that the other teams in the league can't hit him. If you pull the kid out, all it's showing is that, okay, you're better, and that, I mean, they're just showing that, like, participation trophies are okay. And no, they got the kids train. He might have practiced more. Why take it out on the kid? There's other, I mean, it kind of goes back to the same for the judging in the Olympics, the Simone Biles thing, how they weren't going to judge her fairly because she's too good, and they had to level the playing field for everyone else.
Sean,
All that's going to show is no matter how much you work, hard, everything, they're just – this generation's getting too soft. That coach shouldn't be coaching at all. He's just showing that –
agreed. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate the call. Agreed. We are a soft society. We are. But in that situation, I'm curious, did Danny think as the bases got loaded there in the last inning,
mm-hmm.
bring the kid back in as the closer? Because it's now bases loaded in a 3-0 game.
You could do that too, right? You bring him back if he...
Sure, he only pitched one inning.
Yeah, use him how you want to,
hey,
right?
Hey, James! Take that!
Yeah.
And bring him back to close the game. I did not think of that. That's actually really good.
Yeah.
But this is another thing. Like, you know, I live in Glenview, so I'm left and soft and woke and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I would have probably not pulled the kid on the mound to put the other kid in because I wouldn't have want the kid that was on the mound to feel crappy, right? Like, we're not at the point where we're going to closers. We don't have bullpens. Like, if I say, hey, Cap, you're pitching the first and second inning. Hoodie, you're pitching the third and fourth. Meller, you're pitching the fifth inning. I usually go by that, no matter how you're doing.
Games are 5 innings long?
5 innings long. No matter how you're doing, even if you're crapping the bed, I'm not going to be like, hey, Meller, I'm sorry, man, you're out. I'm putting Cappy back in.
I think it's pretty clear that James is just ridiculous. There's no defense of him, nor should there be. But I'm curious because I want to commend Danny. I think he made the right call here because certainly he didn't want to acquiesce to James's absurd request. But at the same time, Danny tried to call his bluff by saying the rules allow for the two innings, but he was adamant that it was unsportsmanlike and it seemed like the game was in jeopardy. So at that point, do you guys give Danny any extra points for saying, you know what, in order to let the kids play, let's make sure that everybody has a good time here and at least they go out there play and we'll address Coach James later.
Yeah, Danny, and it's one of the few times that you didn't want to make a scene.
When there's, you know me, Hoodie, I'm two different guys.
Yes.
I'm me when I'm around you, and when I'm around kids, I try to be a little bit different and a little bit less me.
Yes, I understand. And but in that scenario, I find it interesting that you weren't like pointing your finger in his chest and saying, no, we're going to move forward with this. You can walk off the field, but I'm still sticking with my guy.
If James is out there listening, hey,
Carmen made me feel bad that I named names, so let's just call him Jimmy.
Well, it's too late now, pal. Yeah. He's out there. He's
already out there. James. Hey, James out there in Glenview, you know who you are. Call the show. 312-332-3776.
It's just not right. And I will say this as an aside. I find it fascinating. You say it's a softer society. Well, you could call it softer. You could say it's different. It's different than what we grew up with. Like, every society takes a crap on the next society. Mm-hmm. Always, right? You took a crap on my society. As a baby boomer, you did that to a Gen Xer. Gen Xers do that to Gen Y. The Gen Y is doing it to the next generation of kids. So it's always like, oh, my generation was best because this is how we grew up. So it's always going to be the case. I don't think it's lefty or I don't think it's liberal or I don't think that it is woke. When you use those terms, it's the opposite of it is, well, if you think that that's soft or liberal or whatever, I would say that, you know, what you're going through is too hard line. You're too much of a hardliner or too much of an a-hole, right? So I don't think you should put labels on it. It's just this is in this scenario, I don't think that the coach was right. That doesn't mean that's the way it is across the country, is it?
I don't disagree. I think you're right. Mark is in Glenview. He coached there. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? I coached in Glenview, my son, from T-ball through Pony League. And it all depends on the coaches you're with. I had a great group of coaches every year at draft. It was hilarious. Picking kids. And one story I had when my son was 13, you get the 14-year-olds. I knew no 14-year-olds kid in the league. And this one guy goes, if Mike's available, pick him. He said, why? He said, he says, pick him. So I picked Mike. First day of practice, this kid shows up 6'3, probably 200 pounds, throwing a ball about 80 miles an hour, hit the ball about 350 feet. He was unbelievable, overpowering. What did the other coaches say? They couldn't wait to see him play. This jerk that took the kid out, how many outs did he make? Three outs? And
three.
He decides he's good for the league?
Yeah.
The guy can go stick it up as you know what.
Hey, man, have a good day, Mark.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
All right, Mark.
Love it. Danny, I have another question. Well, I'm going to let Paul ask it. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, well, Paul. Hey, man. Hey, Danny. So a couple things. A real quick question. A couple things. Danny, this is a great teaching moment that you missed out on for your own team and the other team. I think you need to send an example and let them know this is part of a good teaching moment to let them face adversity, fight through it. Second, what did the parents think on both teams about what this guy did? Because that, to me, is the telling.
Great question.
Do they agree with it or not agree with it?
That's a great question. And appreciate the call, Paul. Yeah, my question was going to be something on top of that. If Jonathan Hood was the parent of the kid who pitched the one inning, Jonathan Hood would be ticked off.
Yes, I would.
Like, wait. Yes, I thought my kid was pitching two innings.
Yeah.
It's a great question. We did at the time of the game, in the heat of the moment, we didn't address the parents. Neither Tony nor I went out to the stands and said to our parents, hey, this is what's going on. I'm sure James did not address his fans. But I will say my partner in crime, Tony Pavic, he did a great job that night when we got home. He sent an email to all the parents, and he explained exactly what happened and how we try to be a teaching moment, and we don't want to be the bad guys, and we don't want to be on sportsmanship, but we felt like the other coach was wrong in this situation, and he filled them in. And the parents all hit reply all, and they supported what we did and how we handled coaching. You know, coaching isn't an easy job, and there's no real rule book for it at this level.
Right.
Call the show, James. 312-332-3776.
The old Danny would have scrapped with him.
Oh, man.
Would have brought him down.
After the game, Tony said, let's go over there and talk to James. And I said, bleep him. I'm not talking to him again. Like, you know me, Hoodie. I'm done with him. Like, if we ever play his team again, there'll be no pleasantries. There'll be no, hey, how you doing? Nothing like that. It's, you know, what you did was crappy. We move on.
Okay, let's go to
Stretch.
Matt in St. John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
It definitely sounds like James wears jeans when he's coaching. That's the first point. That's number one. And there's too many of those. There's too many of those. All I keep on thinking about is that his son must have been batting in the second inning, and he didn't want his son to feel bad. And just really curious, you know, there's other coaches that are like this, even in top organizations. We played a team this year where we brought in one of our better pitchers, and this team that I think they charge around $3,000 or $4,000 a year to play on says, they throw their hands up, they said, he pitched yesterday, and they start making this big old scene about it, and obviously they were wrong. Come to find, the following week, they were in a tournament, and they pitched a kid way too many pitches. So it's unfortunate there's too many coaches out there like that, and I would think, Danny, you did the right thing in a manner that you didn't want to look like a, you know what, but at the end of the day, for pulling his team off when you had an opportunity to tie the game, it's unfortunate, and he was definitely wearing jeans. And the other coaches never played baseball in their life. So.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
You know, some of these coaches, Cap, they live vicariously through these kids. And think about what they would be like if they were in that scenario, if they were kids. But it's not really about you. And yes, you're a leader of young men or young ladies, right? But not you don't overreach. And that's exactly what I think that James did. He overreached there.
No doubt about it. 312-332-3776. Phone lines are hopping. We've got some coaches that want to weigh in. We'll get to all of you next.
Take that.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sport.
ESPN 1000.
We got a hot topic. Every line is lit. So Danny is the 8U, 8 and under coach in Glenview. He's got a kid on his team who is the best pitcher in the entire region. And you get to pitch two innings. He pitched the first inning, all three, out, out, out. Can't touch him. Danny's team's up 2-0. Kid going out to the mound to pitch his second inning. They're only allowed to pitch two again. The other coach goes, James in Glenview. James says, yeah, you put that kid back on the mound, it's bad sportsmanship. We can't hit him. We're out. We're quitting. We're done. Mm-hmm. Then at the end of the game, they have the bases loaded, down 3-0 with two outs. And he says, we're done. That's it. We're not even going to make the last out. We're done. You talk about a soft man mentally.
Absolutely.
Weak. So my friend Denny Kessel, who's been a legendary coach for over 30 years. His son played in the Astros system. He said, just make sure you let all the teams know that if Jacob DeGrom is pitching, we quit. We're not playing.
Oh, great.
I mean, can you imagine a major league team doing that?
It's about the kids. It's not about him. Yes, you have to lead, but it's not about you, James.
Correct.
That's the whole point of this for me.
Correct. Well said. Back to the phones. Steve is in Indianapolis listening. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. I'm flummoxed over this because I've never seen a situation where the letter of the rule was not followed to soften up the game. I can see, Danny, where you had a hard decision to make, but when you coach, you get in a situation like that to put you on your heels. You've got to go with your first instinct, and your decision to take that kid off the mound was wrong. You're teaching this kid to dummy down his game. He's too good. You're putting something in his head that should have never been there at that age. That kid needs to go out there and throw gas every time he plays. When you play football, you got a rule where you put an X on the back of a kid's helmet when they're too big and develop, because we don't want to hurt anybody. There are so many things where we got to follow the rules. They're in there for a reason. They're in place for safety and competitive action. The kid was limited to two innings. Give him his two innings because he's got to play too.
Yeah.
So that's my take, and love you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate the call, man. So back to the phones, and let's see. Roger's in Long Grove. Hey, Roger.
Stretch. Hey, guys. Hey, Cap. Roger. We know each other from the multiplex days. And I just saw you at the apt outing. I belong to Twin Orchard. Hope all is well.
You got
Long-time
it.
Listener. First-time caller.
Appreciate
you. So appreciate you guys back. A lot of fun, good entertainment. So my son, who's now going to be a sophomore at Oshkosh, playing baseball. He's a catcher. 10U in a North Shore league. He's catching. And the coach takes the pitcher and my son aside and says, so-and-so, who used to be on our team last year, is on the opposing team. The coach is not happy that the kid decided to go to another team. And he says, if I give you this signal, I want you to throw at his head. 10U. And he did give the signal. Thank God the pitcher at that age said, I ain't doing it, and shook it off.
That coach should never be allowed to coach again, ever.
Totally agree.
Hey, man, have a good day, all right?
Be well, guys. Stay healthy.
Now, see, again, it is the sensibilities of the coach or the manager in that spot that's going over the top, making kids do things that they shouldn't be doing. It's about competition. It's not about headhunting. See the problem? You put people in position to take care of kids, right? And a lot of these people are parents themselves. But they go over the top, man. Mm-hmm. They go over the top. It's an abuse of authority, abuse of power. All you got to do is just, hey, you're trying to teach sportsmanship and play the game the right way, and then you have stories like that.
It's unbelievable.
It's frightening.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Hegwisch, where Jose is. Hey, Jose.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, guys.
What's
hey, you know, it's pretty much kindergarten baseball. I mean, leave your ace out there. Let him grow. Let the batter grow at the same time. It's your best. It's your hitter versus the pitcher, all right, at the grandest stage. I know it's 8U. The pitcher's got to get that mental ability to close it out, either at the tail end of the game or in the beginning of the game. The batter, he's got to focus on the pitcher and try to get the best out of him. Now, if you're going to play this game where, hey, it's not fair, what are you teaching them ultimately? To complain to the coach later on when they get older? Hey, coach, I don't think I could hit against him. Can you tell the umpire or the other coach to take it easy and sub him in? Hey, coach, I don't feel like I could get this batter out. Can you tell the umpire or the coach to let the batter know to take it easy or maybe lay down a bunt? Us as coaches, I coach 10U, and I got approached with a problem this year with my team stealing too much by one of the coaches and the league president. She approached me, or I'm not going to say any names, she approached me and she told me to stop stealing, basically. We want you to stop stealing.
Well,
I told her, I said, you know what? I'm not going to tell my kids to stop stealing because I'm teaching them the game. This is all I coach most of those kids since T-ball. I grew with them as a coach and a leader, and they grew with me.
And
I'm not going to disappoint my kids.
Jose, thank you for the call. Again, if you're winning 12-0 and you're still stealing, that's not good sportsmanship. That's not. If Danny's game was 3-0. 3-0 and you're going to quit, throw in the towel because the guy's a little bit better than you are, that's weak.
Yeah, and I think on that level, I think that sportsmanship has to reign, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm actually a little bit more flexible with it in the pros because we get this in college football or the NFL where someone has a big lead and you say, you know, why are you throwing in on that particular situation when you're up 20, 25? It's like, well, you got to stop them in the pros, right? Make stops. But on that level, you know, there's sportsmanship because this you're learning and you're teaching, right?
Correct.
On that level.
Correct.
That's what I there's no way that I would have the signal of stealing when you're up big on that level.
Steve in Batavia, what's up?
Hey, boys. Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Good, Steve.
Good. Thank you. Just listening to this over and over and thinking to myself, I wonder if James, the head coach of the other team, thought to himself as the game was being played out, maybe I screwed up and tried to redeem himself by pulling his players off the field at the end of the game when they were bases loaded, two outs, down 3-0. Maybe he thinks to himself, you know, I really second-guessing my decision. I'm going to pull my players off so these boys get the win. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think his actions show that he is a very weak-minded person. Appreciate the call. I do not think he was trying. The win in the big picture doesn't really mean a lot.
No.
The lessons you're teaching those kids, like that kid's too good, so we're not going to battle against him. What about saying, guys, that kid's the best pitcher we've faced? Let's go out there and give it all we've got. Period.
Yeah.
Or the kid that you didn't let bat at the end of the game. What about the damage you did to him? Mom, why wouldn't they let me bat? Did they think I wasn't good enough? No. That's just an awful message he sent.
Yeah, because it was the coach's sensibilities, though. And again, you don't put yourself in that Little League uniform. Did James feel like, man, I was there once where I was overwhelmed by a pitcher. They shouldn't have me out there, so I'm going to take care of my kids. If I get a chance to the coach, then I'll make sure that I'm protecting my kids. You're not protecting crap. You're not protecting anybody in that spot except your own spot as a coach, grandstanding. That's exactly what you're doing.
Let's go to the phones and grab Mike. Oh, we got to take our break, and then we'll come back and get more of your calls. Every line's lit. And the winner of the tickets, by the way, was Richard Shannis of Niles, is going to WWE Monday Night Raw. We give another pair out tomorrow and Friday at 9:13. Be right back.
Take that.
This is Kath and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Kath Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Home stretch of Cap J. Hood. Don't forget Carmen York in at 10 for Crosstalk. You've got Greeny at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2. And then Black and Abdallah have a 30-minute show tonight. Is that correct? And then leading into White Sox baseball on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. You can listen to us at Crystal Clear FM 100.3 HD2. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Or download the awesome ESPN Chicago app.
And we are talking about what's going on in Danny Zetterman's life. It is just, it's hard because he's a coach and just someone just trying to lead young people. And then there's always the jerk, right? There's always someone that wants to insert themselves, their personal feelings into it. And again, it's really about the kids, man. It's really about how you can cultivate and be able to motivate young kids to play the games the right way. But some want to do it their way, and that's the problem.
Danny, was there a draft for these teams, or were you just given a, here's your team?
No, this is Summer League, so anyone's allowed to sign up if they're of age and you're just assigned a team.
Okay, so I'm just curious if there was a draft, if Softy James would draft this kid if he had the number one overall pick.
Well, I'll tell you this. About 2 weeks ago were tryouts for the 8U Patriots. That's Glenview's travel team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was there because my son was trying out. I watched and I knew this boy, this pitcher, because he's on my team. So I had a special, you know, I'm watching my son's friends and I'm watching the kids that play for me. This kid probably was one of the top five kids at all the tryouts. So I'm sure any coach would have picked him.
There you go.
I got an email from the coach that we're playing tonight, and he said that he promised us that he will let us keep our pitchers in for the entire two-inning allotment. He promises that will not be an issue going forward.
That's great.
Take that, James. There you go. Let's go back to Cindy in Geneva. Hey, Cindy.
Hi. I was just calling. My kids have played baseball their whole lives, and they need to be teaching these kids baseball's a game of failure. You're going to fail probably two-thirds of the time. You need to just pick yourself up, brush it off. It's only two innings. You'll survive. And if James is so concerned about the psyche of a seven-year-old, take him out for ice cream after a loss of 3-0 or possibly 5-0. It wasn't like he was getting mercied. Take him out for ice cream and tell him they'll do better tomorrow and it'll be fine.
I agree. Dilly bars for everybody.
That's it.
There we go.
Yeah,
love thanks. The dilly bar. Hey, Cindy, thanks a lot. Appreciate you. So my wife texted me. She was listening to this discussion.
Yeah.
She said, you got to be kidding me. My wife was aghast what this coach did.
Not only that, she was surprised.
And she's not happy that Danny pulled the kid either.
And knowing Mindy, I feel like Mindy would have left him in for sure.
100%.
Of course.
100% she would have left the kid in. She's like, I could tell you that Garrett came up with the bases loaded when I was coaching with my brother, his little league team.
Mm-hmm.
He struck out. Garrett was a really good player.
Yep.
He struck out. So he's walking back to the dugout, slams the helmet, throws the bat down. I walked right up to him in front of his entire team. I said, if that ever happens again, I will pull you from the game. We will get in the car and we will leave immediately and you'll be done. Are we clear? Never, ever going to happen. And I will embarrass you. And his team heard it. Everybody. And one of the parents said, wasn't that embarrassing to him? I said, no, he embarrassed himself. That wasn't me. He embarrassed himself. Never happened again.
And one of the parents, never. You told him, say, keep your beak out of my son's issue.
Exactly. Keep your beak out of it.
Ravenswood.
my calves are getting tired. Pick a call.
I see Farmington, our guy Curtis, right?
Let's go to Curtis. Hey, Curtis, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Really How are quick. You?
Good, good, good. The James fella, he felt inadequate. He felt that himself, the team was inadequate. That's when he pulled that move. There were good points for Danny for being a good peacemaker and everything. But while I was listening, I had a question. What does James do when he sees it's like the playoffs or whatever, and he feels his team is inadequate again? Will he pull the same move, and what will happen when he does see another team that's better than him? Will he pull the same move, and what happens then?
That's a great question, right? I mean, if you feel inadequate in that spot, what about even in a bigger spot? Like, again, with stakes on the line, at least relative stakes for that level, right?
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. Thanks for the call, Curtis. Appreciate you always listening, man.
Just want you to know, kids, you're not good enough. So that's why you're not going to take on this kid anymore. You're not good enough, just so you know.
Correct.
Great.
But I'm here to make sure that your feelings don't get bruised.
Exactly.
Joe in St. Charles.
Hey, there's another end of this spectrum. I have a sister in California whose grandson is 15 years old, just got named to the 16 and under U.S. national soccer team. Now, this kid is going to have to move from San Diego to Houston, leave his family, leave his friends, leave his school. And there's no guarantee he's ever going to make a nickel playing soccer. And it's like, I think all this sports stuff, as much as I love sports, is out of freaking hand.
Appreciate the call, Joe. I would say this. If he's choosing to pursue the U.S. national soccer team, he's obviously very, very good.
Sure.
That is a decision that family has to make. Eddie Olczyk left home at a very young age, and we'll get him on in the coming days. That is a decision that he had to make. He left to play junior hockey. He ended up going to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. But there was no guarantee when he left. I think he left at like 16.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane left at like 14. So that's the decision. You're casting your lot in life trying to make it.
That's right.
Let's go to...
Your calves. I see Chris in Crown Point. I see Mario.
Chris in Crown Point. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I think it's kind of a lose-lose for Danny, especially when we're talking about the coach teaching a lesson. Because if he leaves the pitcher out there and then the other coach pulls the team, then the coach is basically teaching the kids, hey, if something's too hard, just quit. But on the flip side of that, If he pulls them, then the coach is kind of teaching the kids, if you don't get your way, just complain till someone acquiesces.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Chris. Again, teaching those kids, if it's too hard, just tell the teacher, that test is too hard.
Right.
That's not fair. We can't do that instead of studying a little bit harder. One more. Let's get Mike in Arlington Heights. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hello, Coach Mike.
Coach Mike, you there?
Mike is not there.
How you doing? Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for taking my call.
You're close, Mike. Go ahead.
I'm on the road here. Sorry about that. So, I coach Little League, and we did a philosophy of just one inning, every pitcher one inning. And, I mean, championship games at that level aren't really that big. So, okay, maybe the kid comes in for two innings on those bigger, competitive games. But at the same time, one inning, one kid. Keep them all fresh. Keep them all young. Keep them all involved. Keep them all active. That was just our philosophy. I coached in Roy Meadows. We had some successful young baseball, and I believe we still do. That's just what I got to say. Hey, Cap, next time I see you at Mr. Allison's, I'm going to say what's up to you.
All right, you come say hi. Mr. A's has the best ham in town, man. Appreciate
best
you.
Ham, best ham. Thank you.
See ya. We get the ham at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. Mr. A's, Mr. Allison's in Arlington Heights.
Oh, ham for the holidays.
It's amazing.
Well, that seems kosher.
Yeah. My wife's Methodist and Greek. We will crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko.
I didn't ask about that. I was just saying that the ham was kosher. To have ham over the holidays is kosher.
In 2 minutes.